B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Go for it. If you're having any problem, you can surmount it. There isn't a hill you can't climb. There's not a problem you can't fix. You're a winner.
Who is this? I don't know a problem with it.
Autograph.
I mean, it sure sounds like Turn Up the Radio. Except, is this Balls to the Wall, the sequel?
No, this is too happy for Except.
It's also never too well produced. Right, it's too American.
Your balls to the wall.
By the way, I'm continuing to make new TNR specific music beds for the show. So if you have any suggestions, at Toucher and Rich. We've had a few good ones this morning, but that one's fine. I have no problem with that one.
John told me that one was a cowboy of modern time. All right, so the Red Sox are interested in this Kluber fella who, for some unknown reason, chooses to spend his offseason in this area.
It's really weird.
His wife is from around here. It doesn't matter. I don't care who's from here.
I mean, my parents live in Tennessee, and I grew up in Detroit, and I live in Boston. I have no idea why you would choose to spend your time here in the offseason. That seems atrocious. Horrible planning. But if you know Corey Kluber, call us. 617-779-0985. He seems like a guy who's around.
Near him, like you and David Backus, you know, just have knowledge.
Yeah, Backus on that ghetto house on the main road.
Yeah.
Yeah. He lived right there on Beacon Street.
Uh-huh. Has he moved away? Or is he still on that house? Like, is he officially that family out?
I have not stalked him to that degree. The only reason I know he lives in that house is because he participated in a Little League parade. He kind of just fell in place, kind of fell in line. His kids are a little younger than mine. But, yeah, he had a house right there on Beacon Street in Newton Center, right there on the main road. And you said, David, this is a big-time salary. What are you doing? By the way, renting a schlub.
Did you hear kind of the latest on the season right now? There's a bunch of garbage that they're going to sift through, and there's obviously sides that are threatening to, you know, not have a season and things like that. But the main thing is that there was a reporter for Sportsnet last night, I think I actually have it here, who came out and said, any hope that this thing's going to get started on January 1st is a pipe dream. Here he is.
I have to believe it's fully dead, Ken. And I want to be really clear about this because the NHL is still publicly saying January 1st is its target. But, you know, for the conversations I've had from agents, for people who work for teams, I'd say for the last week and a half, there's been a thought January 1 couldn't happen. In these last couple of days, I think it's actually just impossible at this point. You know, here in Canada, there are teams like the Montreal Canadiens, the Winnipeg Jets, that because of local restrictions to do with health and safety would have trouble opening their practice rinks. You have immigration issues to do with the quarantines. Back in the summertime when players came back, they were allowed to do a modified shorter quarantine. Well, that's off the table in some provinces right now. And so, you know, I just don't think that there's any way to get through all the logistics here.
Yeah, and I've heard that, like, if you start the season the beginning of February, almost at the latest, you're going to be able to, I guess, have enough of a season to where everything works out financially and you'll still be able to have you know, a Stanley Cup run and everything like that. But that kind of seems to be the drop-dead date is, like, you know, February 1st right now.
Yeah, they want fans and they got that fascist government in Toronto, in Canada that's not allowing anything to go on. Those Canadians, they're taking it. Woof. Mm. They get pushed around. Their government just says, you do what we say. And they take, well, actually in Toronto, they're riding and stuff. So I guess.
But I like the idea that they had of having, like, you know, the divisions all rearranged and you have the Canadian teams.
Yeah, but in Canada, the government, I'm not being sarcastic. In Canada, they just, it's whatever their whim is. And they, you know, it's a different kind of society than here in the United States.
And the reporter makes a good point. Not everyone who plays on the Canadian teams are Canadian. I mean, you've got to get players back from Europe, and so people trying to go from the U.S. to Canada, it's going to be a big pain
in the ass. Canada is the big pain in the ass.
Now, but I think the matter is, like, if that's the case, like, if let's say you're a European, you're European and you're there now, but you play in a Canadian team, I mean, listen, I could be wrong because you're right. Canada's laws are kind of, they're obviously way different, but can't they come in and quarantine for a period of time and then practice? Like, isn't that
sure.
just a matter of yeah. like,
right. whatever?
Time?
But then again, there's that time that they have to quarantine, and that's time off the training. And also, like they said, these practice rinks, they might not allow, you know, 20 people to be inside a practice rink
for a
which
long
is,
time.
And so,
yeah.
it
could be like a Santa Clara situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's like, yeah. So take the government of Northern California and put that as a country. And that's what they have going on in Canada. Because in Canada, they can get away with more stuff like that.
Do you? I was worried about the NHL last week, Rich. You told me not to worry.
I know.
And now the union and the league, they're going to play.
But I think that right now, it's not even – I mean, the COVID stuff's obviously a problem. But it's they're also busting balls on – this, you know, it's the same thing that we got from Major League Baseball this year. It's that put your money in escrow if you don't play games. Yeah. And, you know, the players think that they've given up enough over this past year.
Everyone in Canada is going to take that vaccine because they have brains in their heads. Despite the fact that they bent over for the government. The government probably make them take the vaccine. As far as I'm concerned, that's fine. And everyone's going to take the vaccine. They're going to roll the vaccine out. It's going to go smoothly there because they have that universal health care. They're all going to get vaccinated, and before you know it, they're going to be able to play, and they're going to have fans. That's the way it's going to go.
The thing about all
of this is there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And so that's the thing, is that this isn't, you know, March where we were all, you know, in desperation and not knowing what was going on. I mean, now we know. I mean, there's a rollout plan, so, I mean, this is only going to get better. I mean,
and this is posturing too, Fred, as far as the financial part is concerned. The COVID stuff is real. I mean, you can't fight these governments. The governments, that's what they want to do. And I understand why that might move things back. But the rest of it that I'm hearing, you know, listen, baseball was a mess. It was a cluster F, and everyone looked bad when they did that. The NHL is going through that right now. They're not quite as vocal, but once that January 1st date starts to pass, If they haven't figured things out, this might get a little un-Canadian like.
How much get
a little bit of mud slung around.
How much practice time did they have before they went into the bubble for the playoffs?
It was like 3 weeks, I think. Yeah, is that right, John?
Yeah, and it wasn't like everyone on the ice at once. They had to ramp up.
They showed up.
They were like four or five on the ice at a time.
Let's say this. Let's say that they need 3 weeks. So basically, we should know something. If you want to be concerned about something, I would put Christmas as kind of a date I would start getting concerned.
The NHL has too much to lose here, more so than baseball. I mean, baseball, the owners had so much money. You know, the players ultimately had to come back with their tails between their legs because the owners could do it.
Yeah.
This is different. Yeah. There isn't nearly as much money to go around
in this
sport.
Plus, they need fans.
They got to get this done.
And plus, they're going to need fans. In which they might not get in Canada, and they might not get in some markets.
Well, we talked about this
because
earlier.
They depend on the gate much more than other sports.
Well, they don't have that. You're right, the massive TV contracts that you got. I mean, you can't even get Nesson on YouTube TV anymore. So
right.
It's a high quality product we got there. But the thing is, too, that you know we mentioned this earlier, and it really is big news. Is that, you know, Dr. Fauci did this interview with Yahoo Sports yesterday, and, you know, his whole thing is that if, you know, things go the way that he predicts it's going to go with the vaccine, that by playoff time, you have a pretty good chance. He said it might be pushing it a little bit, but he said that more than likely, you're going to have a decent amount of people that are going to be able to be there at the TD Garden for a basketball game, for hockey playoffs. So there is going to be more than likely some sort of money made for the NHL.
Plus,
and they can actually put that into their decision making. And if they move things back a little bit to like the beginning of February, that means an extra month more than likely that they could actually be making money on, you know, 80% full arenas.
Right. And Fauci, by the way, is very, very conservative about these things. So if you take what Fauci says and you put it in the mind of a governor of Arizona, you're talking about they're going to have fans in March.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can look at it that way, too. I mean, in Boston maybe a little bit freer than what Fauci says. Then you have California and New York, which I'm convinced Cuomo's never going to allow people to do anything ever again.
Well, California's in a weird situation because they're almost at capacity with their hospitals. That's why they're freaking out.
No, I know. Plus,
that I get.
But no, I understand that. And I understand this is all real. I'm not making light of it. Plus, but you know, these California, in California, they're much more apt to make wild restrictions than they would in some other place.
If I'm the NHL, you know, the more I think about it, I'm not in a huge rush to get this thing started.
That's what I was saying.
On January 1st, yeah.
That's what I was saying, is that they want fans. And
yep.
So
Move it back a month.
As long as it doesn't greatly affect the amount of games played, yeah, they need gate. And, again, Canada, you don't know. Things work a little bit differently here.
I've even heard a pretty interesting proposal about, instead of March Madness, having May Madness. Being able to move the tournament back 2 months to where there would be way more of a chance to be able to get fans in the stands.
Is something wrong with the phones? Because everyone's dropping. Everyone's dropping, Nicholas. I don't think you can blame Nick for that, can you?
I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, I think that would just be, you know, upon him to check and see if everything's working. That's the.
I mean, I got to call a guy who knows Kluber. He's gone. Then I get to call someone with this NHL thing. I can't even remember.
Well, I mean, Nick,
I take it they're gone.
Nick's job is to put them on hold.
Job is to hit go on the Twitch thing, and his other job is to answer the phone. The job answering the phone is very important.
But he puts
the job of running Twitch,
Twitch
stream on a great day has 200 people at one time. I'm not concerned about the Twitch stream. I'm mainly concerned about the phones.
No, my only point is Nick's job is to answer the phone, tell him to turn the radio down if they're in the car, and put them on hold. After that, it's out of his hands.
Every time I go to the phones, it's Nick's job that there is someone there. And if you think I'm being a dick, go talk to any other radio show. And Rich will tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Go work for Phil Henry and see what he puts in.
Oh, my God. Well, Phil Henry, I mean, geez.
I mean, I said
he's my favorite radio guy, but, he's merciless.
I mean, I sat in studio with him during a show. I watched a whole show. I mean, the way he treats those people, but they love him, but, I mean, that's their job.
Sure. By the way, Fred.
Let's just go to Sean because I made such a big deal about it.
Sure,
you better be good, Sean. Go ahead,
Fred.
Yes.
Listen, they're releasing that vaccine over in the UK. They just got okay to do it.
Yeah, today. Yep.
And then they were saying we're only 7 days behind them, 7 to 8 days behind them for getting the vaccine. I know essential workers are getting it first, like police, firefighters, nurses,
right.
And then nursing homes. You don't think the NFL, MLB, and NHL, you don't think they're going to be like, hey, we need those vaccines.
They're going to get them before we do.
Because
they can't for PR reasons.
But they're not going to get it with this first group.
No.
You're right, Fred.
Yeah, for PR reasons, you obviously can't get it now because you have to get the is it good for the NFL. What you need with the vaccines now is simple: is that you need the healthcare workers so they can work, and then people that like Mary, people that are if Mary can take if people
high
that
risk, right.
People that are high risk, because by doing that, it's very simple. Like Rich said about California, if the hospitalizations are very low and the death toll is low, then that's the major thing. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that you need the healthcare workers healthy so they can work, and you need the people that are susceptible to dying from this thing to be vaccinated, and then
you need open beds just in case.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you worry about everything else because you can have a bunch of people with coronavirus, but if the hospitalization numbers are very low and the death toll is very low and the people that are vaccinated you know, that's the main thing. So the NFL the NFL will get it between before you and I, months before you and I do. But someone like Mary, it behooves everyone for her to be vaccinated.
But get excited because it sounds like, I mean, as long as
if Fauci's saying it's in May, then it's sooner than that. So
then
that's
right.
What you got. That's what you do.
So playoffs. Although I was thinking about this, you know, with no people allowed in the stands. I saw James Stewart yesterday, who was very upset that he couldn't be on Twitter. He was very upset that he couldn't be on the stands to boo Kyrie Irving on Christmas at the TD Garden. And to that I say, can't we just allow one fan? What if we just allowed Jay Stu at the game to be the only one who booed Kyrie Irving when he came back?
Let me in.
Boo.
Boo. You suck.
Just get Jay Stu in there with some of his wrestling signs that he likes to bring.
Yeah, me and Coco beware. That's all I want. Hey, Coco, let's go boo the heck out of Kyrie. Boo. Hiss.
Karate chop.
Yeah. Hey, this sign says you stink.
That's what I want. That's what I want. Just Jay Stu.
Just one guy in there.
Wrestling is my life, bitches.
One Kyrie, guy behind the basket during foul shots.
Hey, Kyrie ain't Irie. That's for my Jamaican friends.
Oh, okay.
Ain't Irie.
All right, he's going to just be there.
Feel the pain.
Right.
Hey, Kyrie, I hope you die. Ha ha ha.
Take that.
Man. Hey, Kyrie, get a disease, why don't you?
You can't see me.
That's right, you can't see me.
Boots to asses.
I'm dressed like a chair. Hey, hey, hey. Hashtag Gino's not here. Time for James Stewart to take the reins.
You can't see me.
Like, just have him there standing alone. That's what we got. Hey, Trisha, everyone at the Didi Garden who's listening right now, please, can we just get one fan in there?
Under
can
the basket for free throws?
That's what I was saying. One guy with a sign.
No, just staring at him.
He follows Kyrie the entire time. He's just like in his face the entire
time. You can't see me.
Oh, yes, you'll be able to see him.
Double dribble. Hey, ref, you stink.
You're going to be screaming, ouch.
Ref, I hope you break your kneecap. You stink.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
There was something labeled James Stewart. Oh, yeah.
It keeps the lead didn't call in. Maybe that's a good thing.
Feel the pain.
Maybe that's
okay. We have to make it happen. Get Jay Stu to boo Kyrie. This needs to be a boots on the ground of effort for us to make this happen.
Have him change ends at halftime.
Me just and Hacksaw Jim the best. Duggan. Here's a real American Kyrie. You stink.
When the Celtics win.
Cool beans.
That's right.
Yeah, good job. Well done, Jay Stu.
I saw Jim Duggan. Does he get to carry the 2x4?
No, dope. Of course he does. No, he's not going to carry the 2x4. That's his gimmick.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and there's a bit of sass being thrown back and forth, I see.
Yeah.
I went on Twitter, and I saw that you, Rich, had tweeted that you had put up, that we won James Stewart at the Celtics game. I actually think that could be done.
Just one fan. The designated Kyrie heckler.
There's got to be one guy. They could let one guy in. I mean, he's in the media. The media's there anyway.
It's true. Well, no, I don't think they are. I don't think they're.
Oh, yeah. I bet you they let a couple media people in there. I mean, there's got to be cameramen and things in there. I mean, I bet you they let a couple media guys in there. Why not?
Boots to asses.
Well, they didn't last year.
No, I know. But, I mean, maybe they let a media. I mean, what I'm saying is it's not like it's. There's people that are at the Garden.
It's one guy. You know how easy it is to social distance?
No, and would it be like he's the one guy? Well, my point is there's people there. I don't know in what capacity they're there, but there are people there. It's not just the players on the team playing. But so I see that. And then I see, looky here, you say to Joe Murray, at Joe Murr, I still like you, Joe. And that is in reference to a article that I went to.
I was wondering how long it was going to take for Joe Murray. I was going to talk to him about this tomorrow. Because
Chad Finn.
Yep, yep.
Who covers sports radio. He's been very fair, but he is very annoyed. He doesn't like when people talk badly about the teams, and he does, especially the Celtics. He's a big Celtics fan. And he says, ignore sports radio. Danny Ainge is the best person to lead the Celtics. I don't know many people that think Danny Ainge is, should be fired. I don't know about that. I don't hear that, but maybe people do. But, whatever. That's an opinion, and he has the right to it. But then I look, Rich, in, out of left field. Because I see, ignore sports radio, Danny Ainge is the best person to lead the Celtics, and that's great. Here's why that's good. The good thing is because it means sports talk radio matters, and he has a differing opinion. That's fine. I like that. Last time I typed here about the Celtics, I said that Boston sports radio is the worst when it talks about the NBA. I'd like to apologize for that. I was wrong. So at this point, I'm thinking big win for the radio.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Chad's got me, and I had even asked, what is sports radio doing that's so wrong? In reference to his statements. And so now, at this point in the article, I'm thinking to myself,
hey, he's going to say something nice about the Chad Finn show.
He's got his tail between his legs.
Yeah, he's going to say, hey, you know what? Come to think of it, we have John Wallach, who is the play-by-play voice of your Boston Celtics when Sean Grandy isn't there, the preferred partner to Cedric Maxwell. You've got a guy who thinks he knows something about basketball and Rich Certainly, which basically is wrong all the time, but at least he watches every game.
And you've got
Fred Dutch, who makes Danny Ainge laugh on a regular basis.
And told him to take Draymond. He didn't listen. So, just like Cassius Winston, you could have taken Cassius. You had to take the white kid.
He admitted Winston. He liked Winston a lot.
Yeah, he did.
They took the white kid. I mean, all right. And so anyway, so I look at it. I mean, that's the Celtics for you, right?
Right. Sure.
So anyway, I'm being facetious. I'm being facetious, obviously.
No, we won't get any tweets from that.
Oh, John, thank you. Oh, John, you're silly. All right, so the last time I typed here about the Celtics, I said that Boston Sports Radio is worse when it comes to the NBA. I would like to apologize for that. I was wrong. So at this point in the article, I'm feeling it. It's actually gambling sports radio that's the worst. And that is left field. How do you do? I'm coming at you from there. Celtics dogs, due to many hosts' ignorance and disingenuousness when it comes to how Danny Ainge does his job, is the second most insufferable topic. We don't regret the era. Carry on.
Then read the next.
What
is next
what
part.
Does that mean, though? We don't.
No.
I know. I'm going to. But we don't regret the era. Carry on. I don't know. Okay, so that's not much of an apology. I'll say that's not much of an apology at all. It's the best you're going to get, pal. Gambling sports radio is a life force draining tediousness of hosts telling you in all their practiced high roller jargon how they bet and why while you wonder if they keep a bankruptcy lawyer on retainer is a surefire way to get me to switch my radio to the station with the hits of the 70s and the 80s and today. Now, does any other show have gambling talk but ours?
I would say that is it. I would say the Bankroll Boys. RJ Bell goes on the Midday Show. So they're on. He's on there
all
too.
All right, so that's a shot across the – and I don't know what EEI does, but that certainly seems like a shot across the bow.
That is directly to the Bankroll Boys. That is a shot directly at Lifshatz and Joe Murray.
Maybe he feels they've been weakened by my put-downs. And maybe now is the time to finish them.
I see.
But that is, look at the Bankroll Boys. Because look, when they did the survey thing that of the Northeast in their sports talk radio habits, the Bankroll Boys was one of the five podcasts that people liked. So when you think gambling in the Northeast, you think of, and I'm not being facetious, when you think of it on the radio, you think of the Bankroll Boys. So what Chad Finn is doing is he's saying, you stink. And I know Chad likes this show from time to time based on what he's written. He's saying their segment on this show stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And
You know what? I knew it when I read that.
And
I read
you know
it.
Who
it came
takes
out, like,
criticism very well?
Joe Murray. You know what? Dan Lifshatz as well. It's funny, Fred. When I first read that, because it came out like 2 days ago, I read it and I just sat back and went, oh boy.
Just waiting for the first tweet. When's Joe Murray? And this morning.
Answer the phone, Nicholas.
In fairness, it took until this morning for Joe Murray to put something out there. And I think his thing was, what did he say? Just, huh, what's this supposed to mean? And
well, then with like inside his blood is boiling. Joe Murray, this is great. Because Joe gets legit pissed. Joe is mad at me. Joe is mad at me, a guy that he sits with when you're out, and was mad at me for saying that they didn't bring any energy. I mean, he was legit. You're not here. He was legitimately mad at me.
I was witness.
It was fantastic.
That's right.
I mean, I thought he was going to come in and be like, whatever, but he was mad, and it was great. He, like, it was really mad.
Wouldn't you rather have it that way, where he's passionate about this?
Absolutely.
So I want to know what Joe has to say about this. I mean, because he is being called out, him and Lifshatz, and Lifshatz someone.
And who, by the way, when I called out the Bankroll Boys, the people were unanimous in their praise of them. They wanted the Bankroll Boys to be on. I legitimately thought we wouldn't have them on every week.
I mean, listen, I love the Bankroll Boys. I love having them on. I will say one thing. When Dan Lifshatz and Nick Cattles get in a Twitter battle, it's time to press the old mute button.
Oh, yeah.
That is like, becomes the sacred scrolls of bitching. Like,
everyone hates Cattles. Everyone hates Cattles. Cattles is so nice to me.
Cattles is a great guy.
I'm a mentor to Cattles.
Radio, don't do it on Twitter. Like Nick Cattles is great, but I mean, like, you don't learn anything listening to his show because it's all on Twitter. It's like, all right, man, I get it. Save something for the air.
I used to air check him when he was here. He used to bother me to air check him. He's one of my mentees.
Cattles is a great guy. Yes, I love Nick Cattles.
No, everyone hates him but me.
Who hates Nick Cattles?
Literally everybody.
Oh, really?
Literally everyone hates him. Unlike you, I'm like, I've never seen it. He's never been anything but effusively praising me to my face. So I mean, he's really nice to me. I hung out with him in New Orleans, or wherever the hell, in New Orleans one time. I don't know why, but I hung out with him for like 2 days. JP, go ahead.
Hey, guys, take an egg. Is this thing guy crazy? The Kuala Lumpur crew could have 5,000 listeners rally and come find this guy and tell him. It makes Saturday mornings worthwhile. I love to listen to it because I'm 61 and still can't place a right bet. And I love the tips and I love the talk. He's lucky he didn't go after Adam Jones at night, never mind ditching Danny Ainge. Jones would tear him apart. So I don't know who this guy is, but let's have a rally. And if Jay Stu's going to the garden, let's get a whole garden of wallheads. Only of Jay Stu, it'd be in Kyrie's mind that he looks everywhere and he sees the same head, and send him over to Brooklyn for some games. Never mind just in the garden.
That's Jay Stu's job. He's a rogue operator.
This might be a time where he does need to assemble the whole Kowloon crew together and, you know, do some sort of, Twitter?
Because that
Twitter
was,
bomb?
I don't know what's going on between Chad Finn and the Bankroll Boys behind the scenes. But Chad went out of his way to diss the Bankroll Boys.
It was unprovoked.
It was unprovoked. Well, I don't know if it was unprovoked.
Well, I mean, I both know Joe, and Rich, you know Joe pretty well. Has Joe ever mentioned him once?
No, but I can.
But
would
the internet
past you that Lifshatz retweeted one of his articles.
Well,
that's
certainly possible.
I mean, the internet is a messy place and very hard to stay on top of. And I don't follow Dan Lifshatz, so I can't tell you.
That's true.
But something has happened in the depths of social media. Something has occurred.
You know what I think we do? I think we get Finn on with the Bankroll Boys to work this out. Break some bread.
Do we have Finn's number?
I mean, you can email the guy. I mean,
could Finn come on because he covers radio?
Oh, he's been on everyone's show. He'll come on. Yeah.
I mean, he does sports as well. I mean, so he's a sports reporter, but
also, if you write an article critiquing someone and someone says, hey, would you mind coming on record for, we're not going to like, hey, get on here. You don't have to.
No. That's not my point. My point is, it ethical as a journalist who covers the medium to come on to the radio show?
Oh, he's done it before. He's got.
And all I want them, all I want is Joe to yell at him. I don't want to turn it into anything other than that. I just want Joe to yell at him. But will Joe be yell at him, or will Joe be passive aggressive? See, there's many, many questions. Let's talk to Joe. Let's get Joe on the line.
Yeah, get him on. Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah, and he's here all day Friday because Rich isn't on. So let's get Joe on the phone during this break. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Now, more Touch of Rich. Touch of Rich. Touch of Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. There's been a shot across the bow. Chad Finn had put up something about how... I'll read what he said. The last time I typed here about the Celtics, I said that Boston Sports Radio is the worst when it talks NBA. I would like to apologize for that. I was wrong. It's actually... But then, so that was something. Like, I mentioned it. I talked about how Chad Finn said how terrible Boston Sports Radio was. I still haven't gotten a good example of it, because you can't win either way. Because if you say Danny's fine, then a bunch of people say that you suck.
You're a green teamer.
Yeah.
And then Bobo.
But then if you say Danny sucks, a bunch of people say you're out of your mind. So there's really no consensus answer. It's no, all
the only thing
of
you
opinion.
Can do is say what you believe.
Right.
And that's it. So, and you're going to piss somebody off in the process.
Right. So anyway, whatever with that. So Chad goes, I would like to apologize for that. I was wrong. And so you think, here's some contrition from the man. But he says it's actually gambling sports radio that's the worst. Celtics talks due to many hosts' ignorance and disingenuousness. When it comes to how Danny Ainge does his job is the second most insufferable topic. We don't regret the error. Carry on. Okay, so that's not much of an apology. It's the best you're going to get, pal. Gambling sports radio is the life force draining tediousness of a host of hosts. Telling you in all their practiced high roller jargon how they bet and why, while you wonder if they keep a bankruptcy lawyer on retainer, is a surefire way to get me to switch my radio to the station with the hits of the 70s and the 80s and today. You're missing the 90s and the aughts.
And so that article came out, and it was came out a couple days ago. And I actually saw it, and I was like, oh boy, I wonder what Joe's going to think about that and Lifshatz. And it wasn't until this morning that I saw a tweet. It's Joe Murray who retweeted the article. But so what are you saying here? And he put one of those rubbing your chin emojis. And I'm like, okay, here we go.
Joe does not like criticism. He likes a challenge. He likes to take people on. Joseph Murray, hello, sir.
Morning, guys.
All right. So what? Ooh. I mean, is there something going on between the Bankroll Boys and Chad Finn before this? This seems out of nowhere.
No, I like Chad Finn. I've done work with Chad. He's reached out to me in the past. We have a good relationship. So I was very surprised to see this.
So you have a good relationship. So he's asked you things about the radio and things of that. You've been a source.
No, I like the guy. I've reached out to him in the past. I like Chad Finn, so I have no beef with him. And it's fine to have an opinion. Just like you might have thought that we weren't bringing it. That's your opinion. That's fine. My only thing is, if you're going to write an article about what's the worst, maybe just who don't you like? Is it the Bankroll Boys? Is it the RJ Bell? Is it what?
No, it's you guys. It's you. I mean, it's like you're the biggest, and you should be actually flattered by that. I mean, you're the biggest name in sports gambling radio. You and Lifshatz, you're the Bankroll Boys. He's talking about you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I took it personally. Of course, right? As I hopefully would. It's okay not to like gambling. It's okay. It's just, is it the worst? I mean, for you know, 15 or 20 minutes we're on your show, in 2 hours on a Saturday morning, if anyone's even awake, it's really that bad to have an opinion to put it on a site that I don't even read? How about that?
Here we go.
I don't read the Globe. I'm sorry, but I like you, Chad.
What did you call Chad Finn for?
In the past, I worked for an old radio station. He did an article about it, and right. we talked.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. But this is, he's kind of a turncoat. I mean, here's a guy who has a relationship with you, and then he just shoves that into some article. Are him and Lifshatz having something that you don't
know
about?
Maybe that was it.
Because that's what I was assuming. I was assuming.
This happens often, guys. Dan, this could be a Lifshatz thing. Yeah. I don't know.
This Dan fired a nuclear warhead without Joe's knowledge. That makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds like him and Lifshatz, because Lifshatz has got all kinds of problems on Twitter. I don't follow him, but I see it from time to time. He's always got beef with people.
But I like Chad. I did take a break. I just say a name. Just say a name.
You think he's a pussy because he didn't say your guy's name?
I would never call anybody a pussy unless I'm with them personally. I would never do that.
Okay. All right. But you believe he was talking about you?
I believe that he thinks gambling on the radio sucks, so therefore thinks I suck or Dan sucks or gambling on the radio sucks in general.
Is he a pussy for not naming you?
No, he's not. He's not a pussy. It's just, where else can you hear gambling on the radio? So is that towards us? That's why I put it out there. What are you trying to say here, bro?
Does EEI have any gambling?
They do, but I don't know how much, you know.
Are they on like a show? Is there? No, so it really is you.
Yeah, between the Globe and EEI, I don't listen. I don't read. I'm sorry. I'm not taking shots.
Neither do I. So I read the Globe.
I read the Globe, yeah.
But I don't listen to EEI. All right. Well, it sounds to me like you think Chad's a big pussy.
No. I like Chad, but I just wonder, name names, bro? Is it RJ Bell? Because not a lot of people like him. I don't know. Who is it? Who's he talking about?
Have you heard from Lifshatz? Has he said anything?
I have not Sometimes I try not to communicate with Lifshatz when it comes to these matters. Just like last time he called Fred, I would have appreciated if I was involved in that as well. So,
yeah, he gets into it on Twitter. You don't get into it as Twitter as much as him. You yell at the people, but which I had done in the past. I can't.
I'll stand by this. I think Celtics talk on the radio is the worst. Danny Ainge can do no wrong. No wrong.
See, you have the opposite opinion of Chad, so no one wins. Again, you think Celtics radio is the worst because of people that are positive about Danny.
Hang on, what show is Danny Ainge can do no wrong? Not 2-6, not 10-2. Sure as hell isn't the Adam Jones show. Like, what Celtics radio are you listening to where Danny Ainge can do no wrong?
It would be us.
Yeah.
Name names, bro. Name names, bro.
No. Let's face it. Let's be honest here. I love the Felger and Maz program, but Maz will tell you he only likes three NBA players. Felger will tell you he only watches the playoffs. So I mean, like, sometimes when it comes to talking basketball, it's like, do you watch the games? Like, to tell me that James Harden is a loser, well, you've gone to 3 out of 4 Eastern Conference championships, and you're a loser. So it's like, the more I look at it, it's like, how do Celtics fans pick and choose who they want to stars? That bothers the hell out of me. You need stars. And yesterday he comes out and says, we're just going to build with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and we're all supposed to be happy about that? Sorry.
So
you look at our show and you think that we think Danny Ainge can do it because you said Celtics radio sucks.
Stay there before I've been able to ask him questions, and I think he admitted that he didn't want to spend the money last year. He admitted that on the air when I was with you guys at the trade deadline, and then this year he goes, "Well, we're not going to use the mid-level trade now, but maybe at the trade deadline." Yeah, dude, you haven't made a trade in 5 years at the deadline. Don't tell us that.
Right.
Is radio, Celtics radio, bad?
Well, no, he just said. He said because Felger and Maz don't watch it.
I feel like on a night tonight, it is a night tonight sport to watch. Like, if you're going to say James Harden can't defend, well, you didn't watch the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's just, there are these things that you have to watch the game. Sometimes you got to watch the game. Sometimes I screamed about the Red Sox and didn't watch the games last year. That was lazy on my part, but it was okay to do. But if you're going to really talk about the hoops, at least watch them. You know what I mean? At least watch the games.
I'll tell you this. The Moneyball fella didn't watch the games, and he was in charge of the whole thing. He just worked out during the games.
Mm-hmm. And how much did they win, you know?
So you look at it. Right. You look at it as a macro. You look at it when Ainge got all these picks. The directive was to get stars, and he basically had to revert to a plan B, which was using the picks and hoping that they turn into stars.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And listen, well, I mean, like, I don't know how many teams the only team I can think of is the Golden State Warriors that have built from the draft, and I don't know.
Gotten lucky while doing it.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that, they hit on Curry and they hit on Green.
Yeah, that's it. Klay Thompson, too.
Well, Klay Thompson was a fairly high pick for what they got.
Well, they got him, what, 11th, 12th? I mean, point is, Steph Curry wasn't a top five pick. Klay Thompson wasn't a top five pick, and Draymond Green was a second round pick.
I think if you ask Danny, that he would tell you that he didn't think that he'd be using these picks. That wasn't the ideal. I think he'd tell you, too, off the record, that he didn't want to use the picks this year. I mean, in an ideal world.
No, he basically said that before the draft.
Yeah.
He didn't want to use all three picks.
He did say that. Yeah. He wanted to back him up.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, right. The plan has not gone according to what he wanted to do, of course. But that is non-debatable.
If you could say anything right now to Chad Finn, if he was indeed listening,
it's the end of a drunken recap. If you could say anything to the Celtics, what would you like to say?
No, Chad Finn. Shut up, Chad.
I like Chad. I don't think, I mean, if he doesn't like what we have to offer, that's fine. That's his opinion. Is it us or is it someone else? And would he like, I don't know. I think we try to, Wong teaser might be something that's a little out of my vocabulary. But if it's jargon that he doesn't like, I feel like I at least try to keep it as dumbed down as possible. So now I'm wondering who it really is, because I think I try to keep it real with you.
It's Liv Schatz. Liv Schatz are DMing each other and sliding each other's DMs.
Sure.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you. I'll see you on. Right. I'll see you tomorrow, and then I'll see you on Friday.
See you guys. Thank you.
All right. See you, man.
Joe Murray.
Oh, and, Joe.
He takes that stuff personally. He was on his best behavior right there. But there you go. Chad Finn and Joe Murray, at one point, friends, mm-hmm. friendly.
Not sources.
More. Certainly acquaintances.
Yep.
And now is that relationship fractured? And do we applaud Chad Finn for being willing to fracture that relationship in order to put out the truth?
I'm telling you.
As he sees it.
It's a Lifshatz. It's got to be a Lifshatz situation. Yeah. I think there was a tweet, and I think that he said something, and I think that that's where it all went.
Twitter can be messy, messy business.
Yes, it can.
All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.